Thank you for all that he's done for us and provided for us. Salvation, healing. Father, we thank you for everything that Jesus has provided in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. You may be seated. As y'all all know, I'm one of these guys that when it's a special day, I like to have a special sermon for that day. I just think that's a good idea. Some don't, and that's all right. You don't have to, but that's something I've done all of my preaching life for the last couple of years. Let's say, why don't we add some to that? About 61 years I've been doing this. And as we all know, today is Father's Day, and in our midst, we have some great fathers and grandfathers. So would you all stand, please, and be recognized? Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank God. Thank you, guys. You may be seated. You know, I think one of the greatest needs in our world today is that fathers to rise up and take their God-given responsibilities with their families. We've got a lot that's not. And, fathers that shoulder that responsibility and actually do it, they should be appreciated and honored. You know, a boy or a young man becomes a man through what he sees in a father. And being a father is not easy, right? There's no way to explain in words or describe the heart of a father toward his family and children. I know that when I looked into the face of both of my children, there was something on the inside of me that said, I'll die for you. Any fathers know what I'm talking about? It's just something that happens. I don't have words for it. It's just something that happens on the inside of a guy when he looks down and he sees his flesh and blood. There's something that clicks inside. Now, the mom has been carrying the child for the 9 months, but when we as fathers look into that face of that child, something clicks on the inside of us. I can't explain it. Can any of you explain it? No, but it's there. You know, sometimes fathers don't communicate as well as they should, but he still has love in his heart. Sometimes a father may seem insensitive, but his intent is for the well-being of his family. Learn to understand the father's heart, not just his actions. You know, fathers are busy at work and providing for the family, sometimes having to be away from the family, but his heart longs to be with his family. You know, historically, really, that some people say that Father's Day began with a woman in Washington honoring her dad. Others say it was a woman in West Virginia. It's really an unclear established thing. But either way, guys, we have to give the women thanks for Father's Day, both in this way and with the birth of our children. Officially, in 1966, Lyndon B. Johnson, through an executive order, designated the third Sunday in June as the official day to celebrate Father's Day. However, it wasn't until 1972, when Nixon administration, that Father's Day was officially recognized as national holiday. Now, don't anybody come at me because I got this stuff off of something on the internet, so it may not be right, but that's what it said, okay? You'd be surprised how many letters and stuff that that ministers and pastors get correcting them on a lot of stuff. I got a letter years and years and years ago from an individual that would like to give me lessons to correct my English. I didn't write them back. I started to write back and say, I like it the way it is. Thank you. You know, being a father should be taken seriously. And, here's some stories. One person related this story about their dad. Our father sheltered in the basement after hearing the tornado warning. My dad told everyone to stay put while he got his cell phone out of the car in case the phone lines went down. He didn't return for a long time, so I went looking for him. I was upstairs calling his name out when the house phone rang, and it was Dad saying, someone opened the door. I locked myself out. You know, fathers, we live in a unique world with unique responsibilities. Someone said, this fatherhood is getting to go anywhere you want to go to eat on Father's Day. You drive to get there, and you end up paying the bill. You know, someone said, a father is someone that is forced to endure childbirth without anesthetic. And I don't think the ladies would give us much sympathy there, guys. You know, Paul Harvey said this, and I adapted it to what I wanted to say. A father often doesn't feel worthy of the worship of in his child's eyes. He feels he's never quite the hero his daughter thinks he thinks. Never quite the man his son believes him to be, and this weighs on him at times. A father often works too hard to try to smooth out the rough places in the road for those of his own who will follow him. Fathers are someone who give their daughters away to other men who aren't nearly good enough so they can have grandchildren who are smarter than anybody else's grandkids. Now, for you young people who don't know who Paul Harvey was, he was a news commentator that everybody listened to, I think. How many of you ever used to listen to Paul Harvey? Yeah. I really liked the rest of the story. Now, in Luke's gospel, Jesus spoke a parable. And it had a father in it. And really, I believe that father in that parable portrays our Heavenly Father's response to his children. And everybody's always talking about the prodigal son or the older brother. Today, this message is called The Prodigal Son's Father. Let's read. I'm going to read the whole story now. Jesus told this story. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now before you die. So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. Notice the father gave to both, not just to the one. He gave it to both at the same time. So he divided to them his livelihood. A few days later, the young son packed up all his belongings and moved to a distant land. There he wasted all his money and wild living. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him to the fields to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him. But no one gave him anything. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, at home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare, and here I'm dying of hunger. I'll go home to my father and say, Father, I've sinned against both heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant. So he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming filled with love and compassion, and he ran to his son, embraced and kissed him. His son said to him, Father, I have sinned both against heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to the servants, Quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get the gold ring on his finger, sandals for his feet. Kill the calf that we've been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast. For this son of mine was dead, now is returned to life. He was lost, but now he's found. So the party began. Meanwhile, the older brother was in the fields working. When he returned, he heard the music and the dancing, and he asked one of the servants what was going on. Your brother's back, he told them. And your father's killed the fatted calf. We're celebrating because of his safe return. The older brother was angry and wouldn't go in. His father came out and begged him. And he replied, All these years I've slaved for you, and never once you once refused to do a single thing you told me. And all that time you never gave even one young goat for a feast with my friends. Yet when the son of yours comes back, you squander your money on who squandered his money on prostitutes, and you celebrate the killing the fatted calf. His father said, Look, dear son, you've always stayed by me, and everything I have is yours. We had to celebrate this happy day, for your brother was dead, has come back to life. He was lost, but is now found. Here is the record of a father and a son, two sons. The father here is a type of our holy heavenly father. The younger son is a type of a person who needs to receive the Lord, or who needs to return back to the Lord. The older son is a type of religious person who does not understand the goodness and the love of his father and lives far, far below his privileges. You see, he could have anything he wanted. He could do anything he wanted to, but he just didn't choose to. You know, we need to get a hold of the fact, because the father was who he should be, the younger son became who he could be. Today, we as fathers, we should be, because it makes a difference in our children and what they could be. Should be and could be. We should be the father that we should be, and they can be what they can become. Look at some of the characteristics of the father. Number one, this father was approachable. It says there in verse 12, the younger son told his father, I want my share of the estate before you die. See, it seems that maybe this family was a wealthy family. Probably had a sizable estate, and there was a significant inheritance. But I want you to notice that the son had no problem in approaching his father. He was approachable. Some people think that we have to go through somebody else to get to God. No, the Heavenly Father is approachable by you and me and everybody else. You don't have to go through somebody else. You don't have to get somebody else to pray for you. Come on now. But it seems that the younger son is like a lot of people today sometimes. He doesn't appreciate what he has. He doesn't appreciate the family. He has dreams of being away from that. He doesn't want anything to do with it. So he took his inheritance and left. You know, the younger son just didn't want to fit in with the family. But you know, as he approaches his father, like I've said before, this is a picture of the Heavenly Father that's approachable. He welcomes all that will come to him, according to Hebrews 4:16. So let us come boldly to the throne of grace, throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy. We will find grace to help us in the time of need. Now the younger son, he goes off. He's out here somewhere. But you know what? I don't think he intended to end up where he did. He probably dreamed of doing something great. But instead, he yielded to temptations. He might have even dreamed of being a great person that did something great. But instead, he wound up in great trouble. You know, he might have dreamed of being a man of honor. He ended up being a man of poverty. You know, he probably left home with all of his estate, all of his inheritance, and he dreamed of happiness. He dreamed of all, probably dreamed of all kinds of things. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us this, but if he's leaving home with his inheritance, I'm sure he had some dreams. He never dreamed that he would come to the point of living with the pigs. You know, fathers, even when our children don't make good decisions and don't do what we think they should do, and they've made bad decisions and made a mess, we still need to be approachable. No matter what they do, we need to continue to believe in them. I believe in my children. I believe in my grandkids. I don't care what they do or what happens. I believe in them. And you know what? You need to tell your kids and your grandkids that. I tell them all the time. I'll get to that in a minute. We must keep the door open for them. They must know, no matter how far away they go, the door's always open. Now, it says that he finally came to his senses, and at home the hired servants have food. Now he is beginning to remember home, and when he remembered home, he remembered his father. He sat in the pig pen, and he began to remember where he came from. He may have thought about, you know, my father was pretty loving. He gave me his permission, gave me my inheritance, loved me even when I left. We don't know all that he remembered, but we do know that the Bible tells us that he remembered what was going on in his father's house. You know, one of the best things we can do as fathers is to live a godly example before our children. You know, they might not listen to your words, but they can't escape the example that you're setting before them. This will go into their memory, and wherever they go, it's in those memory banks. When they're far away from us physically, our example will stay near to them in their minds. Are y'all there? Y'all go home. Are you just listening really good? Now let's look at this father for just a moment. He showed love. It says, so he returned home to his father. While he was still a long way off, the father saw him coming and filled with love and compassion, ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. This father was not afraid to show his love by embracing him. You know, an insecure father often leaves his love, even though he loves them, he leaves it unexpressed. I know my dad had no trouble with putting his arms around me and telling me I love him. I have no trouble with my sons, my grandsons. Nowadays, I may not be seeing my grandsons, but I'll text my grandsons and tell them, "Poppy loves you and I'm proud of you." They hear that from me at least once every 2 weeks, sometimes every week. And I am. I make it a point to be there for them. See, a secure father knows who he is in Christ, and he's not afraid to openly show his love toward his children. You know, maybe your family didn't express healthy affection to each other, or show affection at all. Well, you're the generation that can change that. Your heavenly father can help you be a better earthly father. You know, a little funny story here, but a young man, he was proud that he was like his natural father and grandfather. And he was a nice guy. But he was quick-tempered when somebody didn't do something he thought they should do. One day, as he displayed a fit of anger, he thought, "Well, I'm just like my dad." And at that moment, he heard his heavenly father whisper in his ear, "Your heavenly father's not that way." That enabled the young man to change and live a different lifestyle. You know, we as fathers and grandfathers need to show our family and our kids and grandkids who God is through how we live. There are many times that discipline is necessary. And you ever notice reading the Word of God? God disciplines people. I didn't say abuse, I said discipline. There's a 180 degrees difference. Now I want you to notice, while he was a long way off, the father saw him coming. I don't know. This is just my crazy imagination. But I just wonder, because I come from Texas and those farmhouses had big porches, and my grandfather had one. And they always had rocking chairs on the porch. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, I can imagine in the cool of the evening, the father and the mother sitting out on the rocking chairs, the cool breezes of the evening blowed in. And they said, "Mama, keep looking. One of these days, he's going to come home. And then one day, hey, Mama, look. That looks like him. It is him." And he jumps off of the porch. It says he saw him while he was still a long way off. I just imagine that there was a long road from the main road leading to the house. And he was walking that road. And he saw him. And he was filled with love and compassion. That needs to tell us something right there. No matter what we've done or how far we've gone, God is still there with love and compassion, ready to put his arms around us and say, "Welcome home." That's what this father did. I believe it says when he saw he's a long way off, he had to be expecting him to come back. He had to be looking for him to come back, or he would have never been out there looking, right? He focused on the rejoicing that his son had come home. The time that he had been away made no difference. It didn't matter that he might have smelled like pigs. It didn't matter that his clothes were all tattered and torn, dirty. It didn't matter that he left with his inheritance and came home with empty pockets. All that mattered to him was his son was home. And you know what? That's what matters to our Heavenly Father, that we come home. Our Heavenly Father rejoices and welcomes us with open arms. He celebrates. Heaven celebrates. It tells us, you read the Word of God, it says the angels celebrate when somebody comes to Christ. Is that not correct? What are they celebrating? They're celebrating them coming home. You know, this father, the prodigal son's father. We talk about the prodigal sons and we preach about him and we preach about the older brother, but nobody ever preaches about the prodigal son's father. But you got to realize there is a fantastic message in here. First of all, this father represents Father God. Secondly, this wayward son represents us that went astray, but we came back and asked God to forgive us. The older brother represents Christians that are living well below what belongs to them because they are just not taking advantage of it. That's why I teach who we are in Christ. The redemptive realities. When you understand who you are in Christ, there is so much to take advantage of. You don't have to wait for God to say, here it is. He's saying it's here. And that's what this father said to the older son. He said, everything I have is here. You could have killed a calf, had a party anytime you wanted to. So this story here carries a tremendous significance. And nobody ever preaches about the prodigal father. They preach about the prodigal son, and they preach about the older brother that was jealous, didn't do anything with what he had. But I wanted to zero in on the father today. He is an example of how we as earthly fathers should be. He is an example of the Heavenly Father. He is a model for us. Our families depend upon our godly example. Our society needs fathers that are willing to stand up and show genuine love toward their families. You know, I pray today that fathers will begin to stand up and be who they're supposed to be. And show society, Christian fathers, show society what a father really is. And through you showing what a father really is, you demonstrate who the Father God is. My prayer is that children would honor their fathers for what they have done for them. And I pray for those whose earthly fathers have not done what they should, that they'll be able to forgive them and let the Heavenly Father help them to overcome their hurts and their disappointments and their anger. You see, God waits for you to take all the benefits that belong to you as a child of God. He also waits for you that are not where you're supposed to be with him. Are those that have never accepted him as Heavenly Father. He waits with open arms to say, with love and compassion. So today, would all the fathers stand? Now I want you, if your family's there, your spouse, our grandkids are there, I want you to reach hands out and touch them if you can. I'm going to pray a general prayer, but you guys pray a prayer for your father. For you that your father has already gone, like mine, or your grandfather, pray that you will be able to be the man that you need to be. If they were not the father they should be, ask the Lord to help you to be the father you should be, or the grandfather you should be. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, standing in this room are men that have paid the price to be a father. Father, I thank you that each one of them will stand up and be the father or grandfather that they should be. And let the world see what a real father is like. And through that, they can see what the Heavenly Father is like. As I said earlier, I pray that children will learn to honor their fathers and mothers, because the Bible says they'll have long life. Father, I pray for every individual that their father was not what they should have been and did not do what they should do. I pray today that each one of those individuals will be able to forgive, and they're not thankful for all that they did to them, but they can be thankful that they gave them life. Heavenly Father, help them to overcome every obstacle that is in their life. Today, Father, may we as fathers, grandfathers, stand up and be everything that we should be. And may we represent what the Heavenly Father is really like through our love and our compassion. May we be approachable. May we be everything that we need to be. We can only do this, Heavenly Father, with your help. And I ask you today to give us direction, stamina, endurance, to do what we should do. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Praise the Lord. Everybody stand, please. Thank you, Jesus. I trust you got something from this. I know it's a little different, but that's just me. Bow your heads, please. I never like to have a service that I don't give an opportunity for somebody to find Jesus. So if you're in your place today, the Father's waiting with open arms of love and compassion for you. If you're in this place and you know what it is to serve Christ, but you have gone away like the prodigal son, and you're not where you need to be. I invite you to come to your senses today and come back home. Anybody on any one of those invitations, you need Christ, you need to rededicate your life, anybody in this room, anywhere, let me see your hand. I want to pray with you, and I want to pray for you, upstairs, downstairs, anywhere in this building. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I pray that if there was one person in this room or one person that was watching that needs to return home or needs to accept you as their Heavenly Father, I thank you that the convicting power of the Holy Spirit would go with them, and they could not be satisfied doing anything until they return. Thank you, Jesus. As I was praying, the Spirit of God began to speak to my heart. Say that there's somebody that is watching. You're on the verge of just throwing it all in and committing suicide. The word the Lord said to you, return home today, my son, my child. My arms are open, and forgiveness is there, and you'll see that there's a better life awaiting you. All you have to do is say, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me, take me back, and I'll be there. Thank you, Jesus. That's what I heard the Spirit of God saying. That's what I'm telling you. If that's you, take heart, take it, and there. If that's you, there'll be a place there on the screen. You can write to us and let us know about it. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Well, did you receive anything today? Glory to God.